Blog Talk Radio. Good day to everyone out there on this lovely Saturday in December. My name is Nicole Tomasini, and welcome to The Consciousness Shift. I am joined by my lovely co-host, Gwendolyn Barry, and we also have a special guest that has just called in the perfect timing, Kimberly Moore, who is a goddess expert reader, very tuned in with the goddess. So, Gwen, why don't you say hi so people know what your voice sounds like?
Wow, okay. Tuning in and giving a voice 5x5. Hello, everybody.
Awesome. And Kimberly, hello there.
Hi, Nick. Hi, Gwen. How are you?
So good.
Great. Breaking motherboards.
So happy to have all the goddesses together here to usher in this season of winter, which sometimes can get a little dim and we can wonder where the light has gone. And we are all going through all kinds of shifts on this planet. So it's a great time to discuss how the goddess can help us and how we can help to tune in with our own light through this winter tunnel. How about that?
Tunnel. Wow, yeah, quite a tunnel. There's always the balance. There's always light somewhere, and if we just hold it, that's light there, you know?
That's right. That's right.
I was reminded today that, you know, earlier talking with someone from my Roundtree group that it's so dark out there right now with everything that's been going on, and it's kind of a challenge. It's I think, of course, it's a spiritual challenge of evolution right now to turn us on. But we're getting a whole lot of energy that is prompting us to take action, to put light out there. And one of the best ways we can do it is in the name of the goddess. And Kim was sharing with me that it's so strange that we have a woman who, well, Kim, you tell them, you know, a woman who would, you know, abandon her child for this misguided thing in California. The goddess is definitely needed on a planetary level to anchor women to who they are and what they can do to heal right now.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, I found it very interesting, Nicole and Gwen, that, you know, in the past two kind of horrific incidents.
Hello?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I hit the wrong button.
Oh, there you are. All right, good. At least it's not Blog Talk. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You know, that there were two women that were kind of prominent in what was going on from a terrorist standpoint.
Oh, yes, with Paris and with California. Yeah, that was a shocker. I think she hit the wrong button again. Kim?
I'm here. Oh, my goodness. My phone is doing this little freak out. Sorry. Okay, so anyway, as we talk about the crazy energies, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, especially in California, I mean, you know, we sit here as women and we're watching another woman who basically chose kind of, you know, violence and fear and anger over her baby, you know, and it's a, you know, it's a really terrifying at once aspect, you know, of what could be. And it's so counter goddess at the other time, you know, at the other aspect of it as well.
Yeah.
You know, so, and it's very intriguing to me in kind of like, you know, looking at it like a bug, that this group that really represents such violence and hatred and fear and anger is actively recruiting women to do this. And you know, and how can we counteract that as enlightened women?
Yeah, it's true. I know that when Nick does her show, she sometimes does a meditation and puts out there a meditation that people can do. I think that you were saying earlier, Kim, that you would like to be able to beacon out to goddess-aligned women a healing global visualization of women empowered to heal this violence.
I would, absolutely. I, you know, and thank you so much for, you know, having me on today and to talk about this. And I, you know, really, you know, through Mother House of the Goddess as a website and having so many women there that are kind of joined in to raise their voices about the divine feminine in many different aspects, you know, both traditional and non-traditional. But I really feel like, yeah, that there's something that we need to do, that we can put out a call to prayer, you know, a call, a manifesto, if you will, of enlightened women, women that want to align with the divine feminine. You know, there was, as I was in this kind of meditation state and thinking about all of this, It was like the phrase kept coming through my head that says, you know, this is how women go to war. We don't have to go to war with nuclear bombs and, you know, missiles and things like that. We can go to war intelligently and through our heart and through light. And that can be way more powerful than anything that's going on anywhere on the planet.
It is more powerful. I mean, when you bring the light, you know, it's like bringing an arsenal to a gunfight. You know, bringing the light and the love to war is always super overcoming and powerful. And I think what's happening not only with the world but with goddess and females is all of us believing in the love and knowing that one person awake to love is far more powerful than millions that are not. And to remember that and to put that into our prayer is the way that we affect, that bring the light.
In this country, I would point out, not so much in Western Europe or the Middle East, they are known as Daesh over there or ISIL. But in this country, it seems to me that my spiritual mother is calling out for women to stand up and embrace the name of ISIS and say it for what it means and do it through healing work and meditation and visualization.
Yeah.
You know, that's a very powerful kind of magic. When you visualize the violence being subdued, them, you know, whether it's you're seeing them cast their guns aside. And it's not just the violence of these people who are involved in a group of terror. It's the violence of money and where the money comes from and the, what
yeah.
the money is doing. That's an octopus with tentacles in every place on the planet. And that's mm-hmm. the job of the goddess energy right now, is to transmute that octopus.
And that's including the fight within ourselves. I mean, you know, the world is not reflecting anything that is not within all of us, somewhere, mm-hmm. somehow. So being able to transmute that and go, okay, you know, yes, I lose my temper. Yes, I get angry at people. And yes, you know, I understand what it is to you know, want to tear down the house. But how do we do that in a goddess power kind of a way without setting fire to the entire barn? Maybe you can talk about that, Kimberly.
Yes.
Tell us
well,
how.
Well, you know, sometimes setting fire to everything is kind of, you know, a good thing. But, you know, there is that goddess aspect. But I agree. And actually, you know, I think that, you know, Sekhmet, the Egyptian goddess Sekhmet, is a really wonderful goddess that teaches us about rage and about how our rage can be purposeful and directed, and that it doesn't have to destroy, that our rage can motivate us, and that it can help us, and it can, you know, energize us in very positive ways. I think that, you know, one of the things that we've been taught is that, you know, especially like, oh, if you're, you know, coming from the light, it you have to have these, you know, pure thoughts all the time. And it's kind of that whitewash they've done to Mother Mary, you know, that, I mean, they've taken the bite out of her, so to speak.
Right.
And one of the things to remember is that ancient goddess is all of it. I mean, you know, she's the sex, she's the rage, she's the war, she's the love, she's the creation, she's the birth. But I think what's really important to remember is that goddess does not destroy senselessly. There is always a reason, you know. Kali destroys for liberation, you know. Sekhmet destroys so that people can understand, you know, their sins, so to speak. I mean, it's never a senseless destruction. So embracing some of that rage to and anger, I think, can be really powerful for women. It can help us reclaim our voices and reclaim some of our power so that we can then turn around and affect change in very positive ways. And, you know, our words are power. You know, we talk about the female logos and speaking the world into creation, and that's something that goddess can really help us do. Does that
answer
that
great
question?
Answer. Yeah.
I agree. I also would always say, and I think we had this conversation earlier too, Kim, it's about understanding that the universe is a warp and a woof. It's a yin and a yang. There's always a balance, and sometimes when the balance is so out of sync as it is now, it's about bringing that balance back. And instead of it being dark or light or good or bad, sometimes it's just the energy. And I'm going to make this example. When I was first beginning to walk my path, as they say, we used to have a saying. Well, the first one was the old book, Chop Wood, Carry Water, Just Do It. But the other part of that was act as if. And I think that's very powerful, because in my own life, I had a very difficult, seemingly unable, I'd never be able to do it, thing I had to perform, an act I had to change my mind about somebody. I had to forgive somebody. And my own estimation of myself as an integritous healer was at stake, because how can you say You are a light worker if you cannot really forgive. That was my integrity at the time. I was in a spiritual and emotional dilemma. But I had this very good teacher. We called her Dancing Waters. Her name was Jody. She was from California. And she explained to me that you've heard it, but just try it. Pretend. Act as if. And see what happens. And give yourself a period of time. Well, I made that. It was easier to make that promise to her that I would try doing that, forgiving somebody. And I took like a minute at the most every day in quiet, and I actively pretended to forgive someone. And I did it for a couple of weeks knowingly. Something came along, veered me off. I forgot about it. It was months later that I realized when I was relating something to someone, a story of my past, that I had actually learned how to forgive by forgiving that person. And I knew when I said it, it was the truth.
Wow.
Acting as if. So with this goddess energy, if we bring the mothers together in visualization, in our own mind's eye, and we see them beaming the healing and the balance back into all the violence and this octopus of bad energy, the money, if we act as if, even that, it does happen. It can happen. It's getting to that place where the voice goes out and you say, look, all the other women, and there are millions of women on this planet who are actively engaged with the goddess.
Yeah. Right. Well, did you see the National Geographic article about Mother Mary and said the most powerful woman in the world? And, you know, what a statement. I mean,
you
know, what a magnificent statement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was really interesting. I mean, some of our feminist sisters kind of said, oh, look at her. Her eyes are cast down, and they've kind of taken the teeth out of her and everything. But here's the point. Every time that we can get the divine feminine out there in any way, shape, or form, visually, by words, by prayer, by a National Geographic article, we are grounding in an energy that is completely counteracting the darkness every time.
It's true. It's true.
And how would you say that someone would do that? Because, you know, we know that there's so many different faces to the goddess, of course, Mother Mary being one of them. And then we have the maiden, the maid, and the crone. But I know from my own experience, you know, discovering more and more of my feminine side and what that means, and allowing her to come forth and still feel safe and protected. I mean, that's been my journey for the past few years. And so I'm just wondering, Kim, like, if someone was looking, okay, how do I open up to that feminine side? Who's a good one to work with? You know, something like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, one of my favorite gateway goddesses is Kuan Yin.
Yes, mine too.
You know, yeah. But I always say Kuan Yin is the nicest goddess I know. I mean, really. She's the nicest one. Mother Mary is fantastic, and I know a lot of people are comfortable because, you know, it's something that's familiar to them, possibly from their own traditional belief system. So Mother Mary is really fantastic, and, you know, there are so many prayers and rosaries and things like that you can do to Mother Mary. But Kuan Yin, on the same token, you know, Kuan Yin is a pretty amazing goddess, when you understand her mythology, which was that, you know, she's a bodhisattva, which means she's a walking, living goddess on
yes.
the earth, and she is here until there are no more cries from her children. Okay? So if you just think about that for a moment, it doesn't matter, you know, she's a Chinese goddess. It doesn't matter if you're Chinese or Asian or, you know, Hawaiian or Canadian or American. It doesn't matter. We are all her children. I mean, that's the cool thing about goddess. It doesn't matter if you attune to Sekhmet, we're all her children, you know, or Hecate or Artemis. I mean, we are all the children of goddess. And they come and they respond. For people beginning, I really think like Kuan Yin, Mother Mary, those are really fabulous goddesses to, you know, kind of sink into. But there are so many then, you know, that you can explore. And, you know, I'm going to, you know, shamelessly promote Mother House of the Goddess. We talk about a lot of goddesses on there. And it's really cool because it's from multiple priestesses sharing stories, sharing mythology, and you can kind of get a flavor and just find a goddess, you know, find one that you go, ooh, you know, here's Yemaya, who's the mother of oceans, and I love the ocean. Let me find out more about her and about her nourishing energy and how she can sustain us. You know, somebody who thinks about going to Egypt, well, who else can we call on than Isis, who is, by the way, the goddess of 10,000 names. At one time, and one, you can talk to this, at one time, Isian worship was the most prolific, you know, worship going on in the world.
In the world.
In the world, you know.
She's considered by 8 different cultures to be the heart of heaven and the mother of the universe. She is the original Madonna.
Yes. And they call her the Star of the Sea, Stella Maris, you know, which is Yemaya, which is also a title of the Virgin Mary. And again, many of the Christian churches, the early Christian churches and worship sites were put on Isian sites and Isian temples because that's where people were used to going, you know. That's where they went. That's where they worshiped. Right now, and you know, while Kuan Yin brings in this marvelous compassion and mercy and healing, and she's incredible, but if I also had to pick another goddess to say, who do we need to bring in? It's Isis right now, especially with the commandeering of that name by a group that represents violence and bloodshed. We need to reclaim them.
It's amazing that those are your 3 choices, because I work with the Ascended Masters deck very much, and the Mother Mary is the card for nurture yourself, and the picture is of Mother Mary with her hand to her heart. And so to answer the question of how do we tune in with our feminine and nurture that part of ourselves so that the love can come forth and the goddess can come forth, Mother Mary, nurture yourself. And then Kuan Yin, she's the card of let it go, which, you know, with women, sometimes we don't let it go. Like, we can get stuck on something. And men, too, you know, to be able to let it go, let the anger go, let whatever go, let the forgiveness, let the hurt go, let it go, let it flow. So, and then the other one you mentioned, Isis, she's the card of balance, career, and home life, which again,
yeah.
You know, that's everything. And for the woman to be able to do everything that her spirit, you know, conducts her to do out in the world and also in the nurturing of the home. So, I mean, I think male or female, those are great catchphrases there. Nurture yourself, let it go, and balance career and home life. It's a beautiful way to light the tunnel.
It's so cool.
It is. What's amazing is that you can, you know, picture the goddess. Well, for me, that would be Isis wrapping her wings around the planet to empower and energize with light and love every woman on the planet to let the healing anchor and begin.
Yes.
Beautiful meditation.
If I could, I would love to share a story about my son and Isis. Of course, now he's almost 19. He's like, Mom, if you tell the story one more time, I'm going to freak out. But, you know.
Tell it.
You talk about the story of Isis. It's very interesting. Zachary, my son, is an Isis baby. That's his goddess. And he chose her. It was really interesting. He was 18 months old. I had a little statue of Isis. He called her Ice, right? He carried her around. He put her by his bed. When he was a baby, I would feel her at night wrapping her wings around him. And interestingly, he was born on Horus's feast day, one of his feast days, the day after Christmas, which is Horus being the son of Isis. So Zachary just, I mean, he loved her. Loved her, and he would talk about her and everything. He would take care of her altar at the house. I mean, it was really funny. And in fact, I had to put him, because I worked at a hospital, there was a Lutheran daycare that was very close, and I kind of like, you know, gritted my teeth and said, he'll be fine, it's just daycare. Of course, I get the phone call that says, you know, we need to talk, because in class, we were talking about the Mother of God, and when we said that it was Mary, Zachary got very upset and said that it wasn't, it was Isis. You know, so, you know, how a five-year-old schools you. But anyway, he was 6 years old, and a friend of ours was going to Egypt. And so before he left, he said to Zachary, is there anything you'd like me to bring you from Egypt? And Zach said, oh, yes, I'd like a new Isis. And our friend said, okay, cool. He goes, is there anything you want me to take to what, you know, to Egypt for Isis? And he went into his room, and he got that little statue that he carried around from the time he was like 18 months old. And he asked me for a bag. He put it in a bag. He went and got some of his favorite crystals. And he put those in there. And I had roses on one of the altars. And he said, Mommy, you know, can I have a rose? I said, yes. So we clipped a rose and we put it in there. And I said, do you want me to write a note for Isis? It was like so funny. And he said, yes. So I said, okay. And it started with, Dear Isis, I love you. And, you know, to me, that is the epitome. And that bag, by the way, was taken to the temple at Philae in Egypt and tucked in there. It's still there, we hope, you know, we assume. And he did get his new Isis. But here's a child at 6 years old who is really, I mean, was embodying what all of us can do, which is the love, the complete love, unconditional love of Goddess, you know, and saying, I love you. And by saying I love you to Goddess, Goddess says, I love you back. That's the really cool part, you know. That's the magic.
It is. Oh,
what a great story. And what a great protection for your son, you know. I mean, just so connected. Yeah. Wow.
It is. Yeah, he's really funny. Of course, you know, now he's a little bit older. He doesn't talk about it as much. He's still around the house, you know, but it is really funny, and he still does have an Isis with him in his room and all that. But you know, just that purity. And, you know, we don't ever, Goddess is the energy that always answers, you know. So, like I said, when we say, I love you, or we say, I'm opening my heart to you, or help us, Goddess answers. We just have to be open to that answer.
And boy, talk about the light in the tunnel. I mean, you know, when you find yourself in a dark place or confused or buried by, you know, emotions or whatever swirling around in your head, to just think, to stop and just ask for especially Goddess's light to come. And I'm hesitating because I realize that a lot of times when I ask, I don't necessarily feel a gender. I just tune into my source. And I don't know, for some reason, the way my brain is oriented, I feel a lot of the male sides in my council. But mm-hmm. but they feel very feminine as well. And I know that there are women behind them. And, of course, Kuan Yin and Avalokitesvara, you know, same thing, are my favorites. But I think, I guess what I'm saying is that Goddess can sometimes come through seeming like a god. It's that same compassion that comes through, yeah, even if it's through, you know, the male perspective. I think that's important, you know, for people who aren't used to tuning into the Goddess. Does that make sense?
Well, it, you know, it does, Nicole, and I'm going to tell you. So we don't have God without Goddess. So it may seem that way, right, especially within traditional structures. But when we say Jesus, right, we automatically bring in that energy of Mother Mary, his mother, of Mary Magdalene, his beloved, right? I mean, we're bringing in Goddess energy with Jesus. When we talk about Allah, and I think this is really important for people to know, is that originally the stone at Mecca, that is the pilgrimage center every year, right? The original stone at Mecca was originally tended by three women, a maiden, a mother, and a crone. Okay, so you can call Allah, but the energy that was there in the beginning, it's been twisted now, but the energy that's there foundationally is Goddess. And when you look at where Islam came from, you are looking at the area that is the cradle of civilization. You are looking at the territory of Goddess, Ishtar, you know, Inanna, Isis, Sekhmet. I mean, you're looking at big mama goddesses that are in that area, okay?
The cradle patriarchy on the planet is right there.
Yes, exactly. You know, and even with Buddha, I mean, you know, Buddha embodies a balance of masculine and feminine compassion, but we think about the mother of Buddha. We think about Maya, you know, whose energy creates the universe. So we can talk about the masculine god. To me, they always bring Goddess with them. Always. Ganeshi. Look at Ganeshi, you know. And we have Parvati and Lakshmi that kind of come with Ganesh.
Wow, that makes so much sense, because that's exactly how it feels. And when I really need a mother hug, like I want a mother feeling, I work with Daughters of Isis, the Ma'at. I just feel like she's the big mama, and I get in a bath, and you're just like, oh, cradling, thank you. I'm good now, mama. I'm good.
Oh, man. We could talk about Daughters of Isis goddesses, like, all day. I spray them constantly. I anoint my altars.
Yeah.
It would, wow. You know, would be a nice thing would be to a nice thing would be to make, you know, I know Kim is going to be working on this, and this is one of the reasons we're talking about it, is to make it a more, you know, recruiting women, women of the goddess, and any women who want to join in on, you know, pledging an energy to ending this violence. And Kim, you probably will explain it much better. It's your puppy or baby, excuse me. But I'm thinking that, you know, speaking of working with tools, it's always wonderful, like little Zachary did, to take, you know, like once a week, a special day aside to bring the energy of the goddess down and to heal the violence and to uncorrupt the flow of prosperity and bring, you know, a crystal, a flower, an oil, a gift to the goddess to say, you know, as Kim so rightly put it, I love you, and here's a token of my love. It's here, it's concrete, it says something, and it could be a pebble that you saw in the park. It's just that concrete, that material side, the physical, that will transcend into the unseen worlds and call her down and let her anchor to it.
Wow, that's great.
Thank you, Gwen. Yeah. You know, there's a really great, you know, the story of Lakshmi, the Hindu goddess of prosperity, abundance, and beauty. And her consort is Vishnu. And Vishnu says, in the story of Lakshmi and Vishnu, Lakshmi melts into his heart. Okay, and Vishnu says, there is none, no god, no man, no woman that can resist Lakshmi in their heart. And that's what he's saying, is that that prosperity, that abundance, that beauty, when we open our heart, goddess melts into it, and no one can resist that. No one is untouched by that. And those that are untouched by that, and you know, are the darkest forces that we have to do battle with, you know, so to speak. And the way to do battle is to make sure our hearts are wide open and radiant. Radiant. Have you guys ever read the Radiance Sutra?
No.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. I'm putting a call out to everybody. I just actually acquired them recently on the advice of a good friend of mine who said, man, when you need a pick-me-up, when you are looking at the darkness of the world, you know, then pick up the Radiance Sutras. And if you don't mind, I'm going to read one really quickly. It's just a short chapter.
Please.
The Radiance Sutras are from the Vedas, which are ancient Hindu texts, you know, I mean, actually pre-Hindu religion. So it says, sacred texts sing of my reality, but I cannot be found in them, for I am the one listening. I am always closer than breath. Heat and fire are not two separate things. These are just verbal distinctions. The goddess and the one who holds her are one and the same. We are inseparable. The way to me is through her.
Nice. I mean, it's amazing how we're, you know, putting together the goddess and the light in the tunnel together. I mean, it really, it fits hand in hand. That's awesome.
Yeah. I have been, you know, I have a good friend that was kind of going through a rough time, and I sent her the Radiance Sutras, and she said to me, I think you just saved my life. I went, you know what? They saved mine. And,
wow.
You know, it, and these are the ancient texts. And it, what it's saying is we are inseparable. It doesn't matter. We can call it God. We can call it goddess. But really, you know, the creatrix of the universe as goddess is inseparable from God, from human. And, you know, all of the dark forces that are aligning, all of the, you know, which sounds very dramatic, but, you know, there are people in this world that are really aligning very purposefully to destroy love and light. And they don't really care who gets in the way, you know, as evidenced by a woman who was willing to trade an AK-47 for a six-month-old child. You know, that to me, wow. And you know,
Kim, you're absolutely right. We can't ignore that. This is the first time in, well, since the Great Depression, this is the first time we've had a political contest on the national level where there is no candidate who is offering up hope and the sun. It's all very dark. Even the good guys are combating the dark. And it's not, you remember that it was the last candidate who won, his first entry was hope. And before him, even the Bushes, both Bush presidents, they hope and change and prosperity. And with Clinton, it was about finding the hope. And with Reagan, you know, we were the city on the shining city on the hill, hope. But that isn't there right now. And so the goddess needs to give life back to it, to us. If you look at planet Earth, and this multicultural nation on it, with all the people that are in America, if you were above Earth and looking down and observing, the nucleus of energies and combinedness would probably be America. And I think we really need to, not need to, the goal would be to work with goddess anchoring, goddess energy, and one of the best ways to do it is to call the name of the goddess out for who she is. I think that's really important. Reclaiming the name in this country of Isis is important, the best we can. But bringing down the goddess in any name or in any face and her consort, It's really, as you say, to dispel the violent and to put things right. There is a warp and a woof, and there is cycles to things. But I think we're really at the edge of a change.
Yeah.
And I think for, you know, the fact that our leaders aren't talking about hope, we really needed that in the last 8 years with Obama. But it sounds like, you know, nothing's for nothing and nothing's by accident. So it looks like the divine plan is asking us to invoke the goddess within us, to not look to our leaders, to be the ones that show us, and only because of them do we find the light. And yet again, just follow, you know, I think it has to be, they're not going to help us. And maybe they don't need to right now. And then the empowering of the individual comes through, and the being able to bring the light, because we all can in an instant. If you can visualize white light, then you're bringing the light, just like
right.
that. And anything else you do, invoking the goddess, asking for the love, asking for forgiveness, I mean, giving forgiveness, giving love, all those, you know, receiving and giving, same thing, two sides of a coin. So I think that's why our leaders are so, you know, ass bogus right now, because it's not about them anymore. It has to be about the individual bringing the feminine that brought us all here into life.
Yeah. Bringing balance back to the planet, really. Bringing balance.
Right.
And the goddess has the energy to birth whatever needs to be born.
Right.
You know, and we can't forget, I mean, you know, as wonderful as some of these candidates seem to be, you know, or horrible, you know, we can't forget they are driven by the money mongers. You know, they all of them are driven by the money mongers. So, you know, it goes back to that phrase, to be the change. We have to be the change. And we also, like for me, from a political standpoint, I am horrified by the divisiveness that has been cultivated in our country. And I'm sick of it. You know, I think the divisiveness feeds the people who are controlling the money so that we're not talking to each other, so that we're not uniting under common causes.
Yeah, you're right. That's right on it. We're not finding solutions. We're not talking
right.
to one another. We're embracing fear.
Right. You know, do I care if you have a G or an R after your name? No, I really don't. If we can find common cause, if we can sit down and have a cup of coffee and a civil conversation and hug each other afterwards, I'm all good. Because you know what? Here's the fact. Everybody who has an R&D after their name in Washington, after they do their rhetoric that's for the public, they're all going out for cocktails and laughing at us because we're fighting the battles. We're fueling the divisiveness by saying, oh, you're a Democrat, you're a progressive, you're a liberal, you're a whatever. We need to find common ground and screw them, honestly, you know, because they have a way different agenda than the common person.
You know,
I think that
I posted around a lecture that Marianne Williamson gave prior to Bernie Sanders' fundraising in Iowa event. It was an hour long. It was really fantastic. And what she did was she said, you know, none of this country would be here without a spiritual center that began it. And she pointed out the Quakers in Pennsylvania and the big part that they played. And it was a spiritually motivated one. It was a spiritual motivation that put the Pilgrims into Massachusetts. It was the freedom of, and of course we are talking about slave owners and all of that, but the point is that I would go back to something very Arthurian. It's the might for right. And today's might for right is either going to be embraced as annihilation or it's going to be embraced as us grounding the light through goddess and the god and all of the better healing energies that we work with every day.
Yes. Hi. Yes.
Cool.
You know, I had a friend that said to me, you know, how can you watch Paris? Like, you know, because I mean, Gwen, you and I were on the phone that night. I mean, I was watching it. I felt like I had to watch it. And my answer to her was, part of the reason is so that I can see the humanity, you know. I want to see the stories of the man who ran out under gunfire and scooped up a young woman and carried her to safety. I want to see the stories of the man who opened his attic window and saved 40 people's lives. You know, those kind of stories are the ones that remind us of our humanity. While these incidents are very traumatic and they're horrible, they also sometimes bring out the best in us. And I think that that we need to bring out the best in us.
We do.
All the time, you know, because we're under attack all the time by these forces. I mean, you know, they're quite happy to infuse our media and our social media and our online worlds and everything with beheadings and fear and propaganda. And we need to find the humanity every day and share that. We need, and as you said, to share the goddess. Something as simple as going out and on the ground. I did this with a group of women. It was so immensely powerful. We went to my backyard and we laid on the bare earth, you know, and kind of, you know, in the pose where you're kneeling and you lay down, right? And we chanted Ma. That was it. Ma, Ma, Ma. And right into the earth. The cycle of energy that was activated was some of the most powerful magic I've ever experienced. So even something that simple, you know, is God.
It is, and it would be really good to notice the polarity of that. The folks that are creating the most violence in the world right now with these acts of terror, this is how these people are indoctrinated. It's a magic of its own. When they kneel down and they chant death to America or whatever the chant is in violence, it empowers them and it creates an energy. And anybody who's an energy worker understands this. So we have to be the magicians who are combating that energy.
I have a big old grin on my face. Absolutely.
Right. And for anyone who thinks that it's not magic, it really is. This is purposeful, sympathetic magic. There may even be more purposeful magic behind that, you know, with great intention, similar to the Third Reich and Hitler and what he did in World War II. These people are savvy, they are determined, and willing to use any means. So we have to be willing to use any means to, in contrast, okay?
Any means to heal and to bring love.
Yes, exactly. That's what I mean. Any means in contrast to what their violence, right? So, and you know, invoking goddess every single day is something as easy as smiling at somebody when you're in the store. You know what? That sounds really simple and silly, but you know what? Smiling at somebody and having them smile back, or striking up a conversation with a stranger, you know, it's passing along the goodwill. It's allowing goddess to melt into your heart and to pass that along.
The Lakshmi.
Yes, the Lakshmi. The golden goddess. I mean, that's what they call her, the golden goddess.
It's the truth, though. There's nothing more powerful in my experience in this world than kindness.
Yes.
Nothing. You know, love is a tempest storm, but kindness is consistent love.
Yeah.
Without thought.
You know, and speaking about Marianne Williamson, Gwen, one of her tweets the other day, it's so perfect for right this second. She says, embrace the world and love it fiercely. Surrender to the role of cosmic lover and miracles will accompany your every move. And it's so true.
It gives you chills. I love that.
That's a good one.
So these are the words. I mean, imagine instead of death to America, or even death to the Western world, or cutting the heads off. The counteraction to it is love, you know. And as Gwen, you and I talked before the show, And we were talking about the light and the dark. And I do believe that there are times that the dark seems like it's overwhelming. But in my world, the light always wins.
Yeah.
Always. It might be in the 11th hour, but it always wins.
It might be the 13th hour, but it gets here.
Right.
And that, my friends, is what they call hope.
Yeah.
And trust and all of those things that get us through any kind of a time. And to remember that any kind of contrast of dark is here to help those that have love in their heart to embrace that and strengthen that. I mean, we don't fully embody and imbue ourselves with massive amounts of light unless we really need to. I mean, you know, just like a horse, we're not going to run just because, you know, we feel like it. You got to have some sort of, a lot of us as humans, we need some sort of catalyst. That's how we learn and that's how we grow.
Yeah,
motivator.
So, motivator, exactly.
Yes. Nick, remind Kim to tell everybody about Goddess Alive Radio.
Yes, go ahead and tell everyone about Goddess Alive Radio.
Oh, thank you. So we do Goddess Alive Radio, and the schedule's on motherhouseofthegoddess.com. And, oh, my goodness, I have some really wonderful women that are coming on, and hopefully Nicole and Gwen coming on in the new year. I would love to have you guys back on. Selena Fox is coming back on. Talk about a light worker. God, I love that woman.
Yeah. And she is a energy beacon to all women in America.
She is so cool. And so she'll be on this week. I have Renee Starr coming on. She is a goddess priestess. And she just wrote a book called, and guys are going to love this, You Are Woman, You Are Divine. That's the title of her book.
Nice.
Laura Amazzoni is going to be doing her new moon with Goddess. And we're going to be doing a winter solstice celebration this month. You know, so we've got some real powerhouses. And, coming up in the new year, I have Tosha Silver and Julie Daly, and hopefully Sandra Ingerman coming back on, and Lynn Roberts. So some real women that are just doing the work every single day. So many of them that, you know, we can reach out to and take inspiration from every single moment.
Cool.
Wow, sounds great.
And don't forget Spirit Radio.
Yeah.
Spirit Therapy, sorry.
Yes, well, I'm not doing the Spirit Therapy Radio anymore because for some reason I get a lot of sound interference, which doesn't seem to happen on this show. So I took it as a sign from the universe to go to YouTube so that I can join those ranks. but I love the blog talk, and it's so nice when it works, and this has been such a beautiful time. But you can find what we're doing on spirittherapy.nyc. That's our website. So, and of course, daughtersofisis.com with Gwen, where you can find so many tools to be able to work with. I've been just all about the white light of the supernatural. So that combined with anything.
It's my new favorite. Yeah, I love it. Oh, my God, it's awesome.
Yeah. To spray white light, I mean, it's just, and then she's got the bath truffle. I've got it sitting right in front of me. So you can find all kinds of goodies and powerful tools on daughtersofisis.com. Well, thank you so much, ladies. This has been a wonderful journey through bringing the light through the tunnel and how to incorporate the goddess. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And goddess bless. And invoking the goddess, I think that's going to be our banner, you know, as we've been talking. So invoking the goddess will be coming soon. Stay tuned.
Yeah. Great. All right, well, I think I'll play us out with the song that I was going to play. The talk was too interesting, so I didn't play it. But it's a little poetic. It's called Hide and Seek. And, you know, that's kind of what we're doing, hiding and seeking the light. So I'll leave you with this tidbit. Thank you so much, ladies, and have a wonderful week, everyone. Thanks for listening. This has been The Consciousness Shift. Tidbit for you. It's called Hide and Seek, and the band is called Imogen Heap. So thank you so much, ladies. And we will hopefully see you next week. Peace and love, everyone.